that school, I was the girl with money. Even though I wasn't, we weren't rich or anything like that. But in that school, I was the girl that had money. And I was the girl with a nice house. And I was the girl that had the nice pants, right? So, which was a contrast because my dad at home, he would not give me any money. Like, it was like you had to like pull teeth to have anything because that was his control thing.
You are listening to the Say Hola Well podcast, a show dedicated to the stigmatized idea of wanting more money. More money, more options for you, your family, and our community to become financially free. I am your host, Lucy King. I am on a mission to help decolonize wealth for Latinas, and here is how I do it. I talk about building generational wealth through a holistic lens. I give you the strategies, the mindset, and the ideas to create generational wealth and also break away from a culture of silence. Ya sabes, the belief that in our cultura, no se habla de dinero. We don't talk about money. I am a first-gen investor who went from believing I had to work mentally and physically hard for money to now having multiple investment accounts and run a business that I love. I am a mom, a wife, speaker, and author, ready to help you create wealth beyond your ancestors' wildest dreams. Welcome to the Say Hola Well podcast. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to remind you to follow us on social if you are loving the podcast, want to build community, and you want to learn creative ways to increase your income. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, and of course, on our website at www.sayholawell.com. If you feel inspired by any of the episodes, it will mean the world to me if you can leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. This is how other mujeres find us. Hello, Abby. Welcome to the Say Hola Well podcast. How are you?
Hello, Lucy. How are you? I'm doing amazing.
I'm very excited and grateful for your time and for the opportunity to talk to you about all things branding, growing a personal brand. But like, I want to make it a little bit different this time. And so I want to talk about your story, particularly when did you decide that you wanted to niche down to creating branding and become a branding coach for women?
Okay. I love this question because it all goes back to my own story. And I think that's so many of us, right? So one of the biggest things is, I don't know if you actually know this, but before I was a coach and I was in this industry, I was a bartender. I was a flair bartender and I was the bartender that used to flip the bottles and spit the fire. So in that industry, I already had a really strong personal brand because there were not that many women. Now, I didn't really know at the time, but when I started shifting, I went to school for photography while I was bartending. And even in that moment, I already niched down. I was doing like baby photography and all of that. And I kept staying in my job and I knew I wanted to leave. And I had all these stories around being a business owner. I opened a studio when I was pregnant and I left my job only to actually go back after my son was born because I had so many fears and so many limiting beliefs and all this stuff. Now, what happened though, I actually got into network marketing for 5 minutes, right? And it seemed now that it was a long time. But what happened was when I got into network marketing, I got exposed to this world that was so freaking different. A world where people, like, I feel like when I tell the story, it's important to know this. I was the top of the top at what I was doing, and I didn't know anything else. So I think that once I got exposed to network marketing, what that did is, oh my God, look what's out there. All these people doing business, talking about impact, talking about making a difference, making millions of dollars. I was like, oh my God. So even though network marketing wasn't for me, it exposed me to this world. Now, in the meantime, when I was actually building in network marketing, because I was building a team, I started telling my team, hey, if you rank advance or whatever, I will give you a photo shoot because I already have my photography business. I fell in love with creating stories for people. And And okay, so I was with a health and wellness company. Like everybody's, oh, drink my shake. And I was like, we don't do that. No, like we want to tell the story. We want to show lifestyle. And this came really easy to me because I had the background of photography and I was a portrait photographer and I used to photograph lifestyle. So for me, it was all about telling the story. Now, when I knew that network marketing wasn't for me, now I was at a third pivot. Remember, I was a bartender, I started portrait photography, then I added network marketing and I remember thinking, okay, the people that are following me, the people that are looking at me, how do I make this pivot again into something completely different? I knew at the time that I wanted to go in the direction of personal branding photography and that's how it all started. But I was like, how do I do this? And this is how I started to leverage my brand and my story, which is what I just told you. And I started using, hey, at this point, I build three identities. I build three businesses. People follow me for who I am. They're not following me just for the product that I offer. And I started leaning into my personality and I started leaning into what I did to grow every single one of those businesses. Remember, I came to the US as an immigrant, as a bartender, and I actually got to offer a visa just because of who I was. And so literally I did the same every single time. And I'm going to actually throw you another pivot that I didn't even realize until I wrote my book in 2022. So I was challenged by our book writing coach to really go back. And I remember thinking like, what do you mean go back? I am going back. I'm talking about like my mom and I'm talking about my story. She's no, I am sure that there is more. And I remember when I started journaling around it. So I don't know if you know this, but at 19, my first business was a bartending school. Yeah, so that's how I got here. I've been an entrepreneur at heart all my life. This is the thing though. What I was in charge of at the school, one of the things, because we did it all, but one of my main jobs at the school was when the bartenders would finish their courses, I would sit down with them and I would be, okay, where do you want to work? Do you want to work at a restaurant? Do you want to work at a speakeasy? Do you want to work at a nightclub? Because the way they were going to go present themselves was completely different. And based on the kind of job they wanted to get, I would help them put together their resume. I would help them with what to wear. I would help them with what to say, what drinks they needed to go and say, hey, if you hire me, this is what you get. Literally, I was helping these people brand themselves. And when I realized that, I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this all my life. This is where I belong.
I love that so much. Now, you talk about how you are an immigrant and because you already had a skill set, that's literally what opened the door for you to come to the States. There are so many women listening right now. So many mujeres that are like, but I have an accent, but I'm short, but I have to look.
I don't look like that. Or yeah.
What would you say to that person? Because I know she needs to hear you.
Oh my God. I have chills. Okay. Let's keep talking a little bit about my story because people see me now and they see, I poll people all the time on this. They're like, you are courageous. You're fearless. You are, I'm like, hey, look at that. Because the person that I am today, it's not the person that actually got here. When I first got here, okay, so there were two trips that I actually did to the US. So first I came supposedly to study English and I went to Washington, D.C. And that was before I ever got offered a job. I spoke so little English. I felt so out of place and I ended up leaving. And this was like a huge thing for my family. This was a huge thing because this was a huge investment for my parents that they did not have the money for. This was like a whole ordeal. And I ended up living because I did not feel like that was my place. Like I couldn't understand people. Like even though I went to school and I spoke a little bit of English, I had a very heavy accent, which I still have. So when I came back and I got the job offer, and this was a few years later, I remember one of the things that really tripped me out twice. First, when I first started working behind the bar, was that people didn't understand me and the place was loud. So I started using like a whistle and I was like, and I became like a chameleon where I didn't really need to use my words so much, but it became part of my personality and people loved it. But that actually played against me once I started going to school because my English didn't grow the first few years that I was here. And I went to school for photography and I committed to getting over the hump. I didn't, one of the things that I did was I didn't try to change my accent. I committed to getting over the hump of, hey, you just need to make yourself be heard. It's not about you being perfect. It's about you just speaking, because I'm very outgoing. So for me, I needed to communicate. I needed to talk to people, right? So when I came into the online world, you're going to laugh about this. The first time ever that I went live, I puked. I remember I went live.
I'm like, I believe you, because I did too.
I finished the live and I had to run to the bathroom because I puked. I was so nervous and I just didn't stop. And when people, I tell this story, sometimes people are like, that's impossible. Like, people tell me all the time that I speak really good English. And then I listen to myself and I'm like, oh my God, because I can spot, right, the mistakes or whatever. I don't care anymore. I don't care. My message is more important than how I speak. People understand me. And I'm not for everybody. I'm for the people that want to hear my message. And I know that.
And I love that you have so much clarity on that. Like, you're not for everyone, which I feel that a lot of online coaches or consultants, they really want to serve everybody. And that's the reason why they're not comfortable building their personal brand, because one day they show up this way, the next day they want to be somebody else. And you have to allow yourself to be authentic, but also allow yourself to be as raw as you need to be, to share your message, to share your movement, and to share how you are going to help people get results.
And you have to be courageous, because part of this, okay, so let's actually talk about what the real work here is, right? We talk about building a personal brand. We can talk about content. We can talk about speaking, writing books. We can talk about the strategy all day long, but the real work is the inner work. Because for me to really own who I am, I had to accept who I am. I have to accept that what I thought it was my weakness is actually what makes me stronger. Because the first time that I remember being in Washington, D.C., I had $13 in my pocket, right? When I came to the U.S., like when I first came to Vegas, I slept in somebody's couch, right? Until I started making tips. When I first, and I tell this story, actually, before I came to the U.S., I actually went to Spain. I slept in somebody's couch for a month until I found a job. And I spoke the same language. So I was willing to do other things that people are not willing to do to get wherever I wanted to go. And I think that people forget, as Latinas, a lot of us, we grew up, to say Argentina, no? But I'm like, I'm Argentinian, but cachate, now is the moment for the adults to speak. Or my mom used to roll her eyes at me all the time. She didn't do it with, how do you say, with like bad intention,
yeah,
but she did it.
Cultural expectation.
It's just cultural. So when I came to the online world, I was carrying a lot of this belief that anybody would want to hear me. And I remember vividly sitting in my office. My desk was over there, and I would sit in my chair and I would have this feeling of falling. And I remember I told this to several people. They were like, what the f-? But then what I learned with time, that was a somatic response of fear of rejection. So when I was creating content, and that's how I actually got, I was telling you out of camera, okay, a lot of subconscious reprogramming and a lot of tapping, somatic things that I could do to actually move the emotions out of my body. Because the truth is, if you have a huge dream, you're going to need to put yourself out there, and you have to accept who you are and your own thoughts, your convictions.
And what do you think holds people from allowing themselves to feel and to give themselves grace and just love who they are? Because I see this all the time. Even, you know, I talk about money and financial healing and investing, and there's people that come to me and say, Lucy, show me how to invest. I want to make so much money. And they're trying to skip the inner work. And there's like these, I know I need it, but I don't want to do it. So what would you say to the person?
I'm going to tell you one of the things that, okay, so what I think they all, it holds us all back. It's our limiting beliefs, but it's so easy to say, right? There is so much talk about that on the online world. Oh, you're limiting beliefs. But the truth is, though, that we all have them. And people want to, like, that shit is real. So one of the things that I've noticed, and I was telling you out of camera, like, I've been leaning into that in my programs. I actually created a whole program about that, because I truly know that there is two things that stop people. One is the belief that they can actually make the money that they could make. That's number one. But number two is the frequency or the energy, call it whatever you want, behind the potency of their content, behind putting their message out there. Okay, I'm going to like something super simple. Even before coming into your podcast, I did a 3-minute meditation. I was like, whatever people need to hear from me today, this is what I'm here to deliver. And immediately I felt empowered because I know that whatever it's for the person that is listening to your podcast, this is what they need to hear today. And that came from a few years of me allowing myself to show up as I am, even when I was scared, even when I didn't believe in myself. So when we talk about limiting beliefs, I always break it down that I think that we all have limiting beliefs with money and limiting beliefs with self. There is more, but those are the two main, right? I don't talk about relationships or anything like that. I think that's another category, but I don't go there. That's not my expertise, if you want to call it. But I think that like the relationship with self is, okay, what are we actually telling ourselves? And then the relationship with money, because that's what we experienced since we were kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like how you were treated as a kid. What things were you told as a kid about you and about money?
Yeah. Which a lot of us were told that we needed a 9-to-5 to make money.
So you know what is interesting? I actually would love to tell this story because my parents were not necessarily poor. My parents were middle class in a good position. And this is what's so crazy. When my dad actually started to make money, like he started to make a little bit more money, my parents started to fight. And for the longest time, I had a belief that I did not have money limiting beliefs, which is bullshit. But now I know it's bullshit. What I discovered doing the inner work was that I actually had a belief that if I started to make a lot of money, my husband and I, we would divorce.
I had the same belief. Not that I will be divorced, but actually the belief that if I made a lot of money, I wasn't going to be loved. And that came because of my abandonment wounds that I had to heal.
Listen to this.
Once I healed them, I was like, I can have the money. I can have the relationship.
We can have it all.
I can have it all.
So when I went to middle school, long story, but I'm going to make it really short. I ended up in this less than ideal school, in a public school, but it was less than ideal. What happened though, exactly opposite to what actually happens to people. In that school, I was the girl with money. Even though we weren't rich or anything like that, but in that school, I was the girl that had money. And I was the girl with a nice house. And I was the girl that had the nice pants, right? Which was a contrast because my dad at home, he would not give me any money. Like it was like you had to pull teeth to have anything because that was his control thing. So for me, in that school, these girls, I even got beat up and I was 15 because I was the girl with money. I was the, whatever they call it. I don't know what they...
Sorry that happened to you.
When I started looking back into my stories and what beliefs I was carrying, I had a lot of limiting beliefs around if I make money, people will not like me. If I make money, people will think I'm a fraud. If I make money, people will think... These are literally things I had written down. People will hurt me. And I remember writing down in some of my journaling prompts and how I actually discovered all of this. One of the things was people will leave me. People will leave me. People will not like me when they find out that I make a lot of money.
And now... Look at you. You're sharing how much money you make. You're sharing.
I don't care. Because this is the thing. What happened is when I did all that work, so the first 2.5 years of my business were so fucking hard. People loved me. People were inviting me places. People loved my content. I was having a really hard time making sales. And I could not figure it out what was happening until I got into the inner work.
Is my strategy off? Am I doing anything wrong?
And I kept going for another coach and another this. And I kept investing money. I was like, I am investing. I'm doing the things. What is happening?
I'm doing everything you're doing.
And you know what?
It's the belief. It's the belief.
When I went inward, I started showing up with a different potency. I started showing up and talking to the person that I truly wanted to serve. I do a lot of like little things throughout the day to change my state and my frequency and my energy. Even when I come to a podcast, I don't take it lightly. because now I see myself as a leader. But 3 years ago, I didn't see myself like a leader. I remember vividly, I used to go to Toastmasters. For everybody, if you don't know what Toastmasters is, it's like a speaking club. And I remember telling the story in Toastmasters that I could see the next level of me, but it was like there was a glass, that I was scratching the glass and I couldn't get out. And this is exactly how it felt for me. And it wasn't until I started using a lot of hypnosis and a lot of subconscious reprogramming. But the biggest thing was actually getting aware of the limiting beliefs I didn't know I had, because those were in my subconscious. And now I can go in and be, okay, I know this is what I'm thinking, where this is coming from, how I can look at this in a different way. And then I can tap on it. I can create my own like meditations or whatever. And that's what we're doing with my clients now. And creating this identity of the person that I want to be.
I love that. I love that so much for you. I'm like, you are speaking my language. I love everything you're doing.
If this podcast resonates with you and you are ready to embrace becoming financially free and build generational wealth, I would like to invite you to apply to work with me privately. It is the most intimate way to connect with me, and you will be fully supported to achieve your financial goals once and for all. Here's what past clients have said about working with me. One of my clients said, "I feel confident in ways I can invest my money. You have helped me connect the dots on how investing truly works. It is simple, fun, and less scary than I thought." Another client said, "I have so much clarity on the mindset blockers that were holding me back from increasing my wealth." And many of my clients have said that investing in financial coaching has been one of the best investments they ever made. If you are ready to see these mujeres and their beautiful faces, go ahead and head over to my Instagram account so you can hear it directly from them. And make sure that you click on the highlights under results. And if you feel inspired, go ahead and schedule a call today using the link in the show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
Now, let me ask you this, because you talk about how you are now seen as a leader. Now you're invited to like conference, you're doing all of these things, which again,
it's giving me the chill. It never gets old.
For those of you that are listening, sometimes we think that we have to lose our identity in order to grow or make more money. And at least from this side, what I see from you, Ati, is authenticity, a lot of boldness, a lot of work, right? A lot of inner
work. A lot of work.
Okay, with failure, what would you say to your younger self? If she was in front of you right now and she's watching you and she's saying, what would you say to your inner niña?
You know what? I do so much inner work, inner child work. And all the time I tell her this, you're loved, you're worthy. Because I think that sometimes we want to tell her, oh, everything is going to be okay, right? Everything's going to be okay. But Ati, when she was 5, she needed to know she was loved. She needed to know she was accepted. Ati, when she was 10, she needed to know she was accepted and that she was loved and that she could have friends and that people liked her, even though she didn't like herself, right? When I became a teenager, it was the same thing. So I think that sometimes I actually been asked this question before, and I almost feel like people are waiting for a different what you need to do. But I think that I do this several times a week where I hold her and I look at her. I used to have, I don't have them anymore, but I used to have pictures of me in my mirror. And every morning I would tell her, I love you. You're loved. You're loved. Because one thing I learned through a lot of certifications that I was telling you that I got and stuff is I used to think that my parents did something wrong. And something that shifted for me is my parents did only what they knew.
100%.
And once I also was able to forgive them, I was able to forgive myself, and I understood radical responsibility, which is I am the only person that can turn this around. So when people are still in a place that they're so resistant to the inner work and they can stay there for several years, I see it. I've seen it with friends. I've seen it with clients, right? They want to do the thing, but they're like, well, yeah, I'll buy another course to learn Instagram. And I'm like, you are going to be on this cycle forever if you don't address this. I can't even tell you. I think if I wouldn't have done this work, I would still be bartending.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to see that you are in a place where you have learned not only to love yourself, but also to use your power and your story to create your personal brand.
I love this question because my core values are in front of me. For those of you watching, you're going to see my hands. They're in my wall. And my core values are positivity, curiosity, abundance, honesty, and open-mindedness. I actually did a keynote around core values at a summit a few weeks ago because I went into a podcast and we started talking about core values. And she was like, oh my God, girl, nobody talks about core values the way you do. And I'm not going to get into them. But this is the thing. When you start sifting everything you do through your core values, and this is the thing, you cannot pick your core values from one of those little lists that they give you, how they give you those lists and you're picking. That is like wannabe. Right? Like let's do this. We're going to give your people an exercise for core values that it's absolutely free, that it's in my program. And it's a completely different way because when you start sifting your life, your decisions in your business, how you show up in social media, through your core values, everything changes. Now, being authentic is so much easier because when you are going to show up, you're like, okay, mine is positivity. If I'm stuck in a place where I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this, my question is always is, how can I? That's as easy as how you can bring your core values into what you do. And I think that when you truly know your core values, it's when you can lean into your authenticity. Mentorship. For me, was a particular coach that actually melted both of these things. So there was a lot of strategy, but there was a lot of support when I couldn't execute the strategy that actually gave me the tools to do the inner work. And she doesn't do any kind of personal branding or anything like that, but that is what I want to bring into the world. Because one of the things that I see with women, especially building a personal brand and business and all of that, is you need to show up boldly as yourself. Now, this doesn't mean you need to be extroverted as me, or you need to be like, no, you can be super quiet and still be on your power. Right? When I hear you talk, you're very calm. And I know that you're an introvert, but you are in your power. You're in your power when you show up, your energy, the way you talk, your conviction. In order to have that, you need to back that up with that belief in yourself. And that belief in yourself comes from the inner work. Yes. Thank you.
What if I told you there is a way to get paid for the skills, knowledge, and the expertise you already have? Introducing Jefas and Wealth, a private offer for the beginner and aspiring coach who wants to build a business where they can make money while pursuing financial freedom and, of course, create more impact in our community. There are a million ways to make a million, and you might be sitting on the best idea that you can monetize. If you are ready to learn more, make sure you check the link in the show notes. On the Say Hola World podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes and it does not constitute legal, accounting, tax, or other legal advice. Listeners should not act upon the content information without seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professionals. We assume no responsibility for the information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liabilities with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracy, omissions, misleading, or defamatory statement. Usage of this podcast and associated content constitute an explicit understanding of acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.